It is a time of legend. The galaxy is in flames. The age of knowledge and enlightenment has ended. The age of darkness has begun.
Greetings and welcome to the 14th episode of the Fires Betrayal podcast, a podcast that is dedicated to discussing the various games set in the Age of Darkness, as well as all the lore that surrounds them. In today's episode, I'm joined by my friends Will and AJ.
Howdy.
Hello.
And we're going to sort of do a quick catch-up on what we're doing, or what we have been doing, over the latter part of the summer. It feels like it's been a while since we just sat down and had a chat. The last two podcasts of me and AJ talking about a variety of things in the hobby, either the books or new epic. So, yeah. I think let's start with the book, I suppose. It's not on my list, but we've got a date for the new, for part three, and it does look like there will be, well, sorry, part two, and it does look like there is definitely going to be a part three, which we kind of called in the show back a couple of months ago now.
See, we're not crazy.
No.
And I'm honestly going to say I don't expect that to be actually the end, because I'm pretty sure they're going to slip another novella in between there.
Yeah, that's my... With the pacing going the way it is, a novella feels like it needs to occur. Especially as I suspect, if we are going a full three-book series for the Siege of Terror, I'm really expecting the Grey Knights to make an appearance. So, even if it is in just novella form, like, yeah. So, I think we'll start with talking about what we've been up to. I'll start at the top, I suppose. I've been, well, the two big projects I've been involved with since last time I talked hobby is working on my Imperialis Militia and preparing for the Texas Open that's been and gone now a couple of weeks ago. Texas Open, I didn't do a huge amount of prep for. I took basically the same force that I took up to Kansas City and played a really fun four-game narrative story up there. Had some fantastic games against fantastic opponents, played a lot of different types of armies. And it was all pretty chill. My militia's coming on leaps and bounds. I've got 7 Lehman Russes now on the painting table downstairs, and a good 60 infantry as well. So I'm really trying to push to get them on the table by Christmas, really, is the plan. I can double back to those points here in a minute. But, Will, you were also at the Texas Open. What did you think of the event?
I had quite a bit of fun with it. So the list I took to Texas Open was a variation on what I had at the Ferex event back in June. Unfortunately, I was out of town, so I wasn't at the Ferex event in July. But I rushed to get together some Vergear with autocannons, re-rejiggered the list a little bit to get them in there from lessons learned in June. It's going to end up being the same list I'm going to take to Warzone. I think it actually worked really well. I mean, it's got its pluses and minuses, but all in all, I like the way it looks. And I mostly like the way it plays. And so I had a lot of fun putting it together. And what I've also been doing is I'm trying to finish up the last of the, finished an armiger. I finished painting, and I'm working on decaling a knight, so that I have my my 4 knights and 4 armigers from House Raven to go with my armor cast Reaver and 2 armor cast Warhounds painted up as Metallica. They're going to go down to Warzone with me for the big blam, so I'll have them on Friday, and then my Space Wolves on Saturday and Sunday. So I've been wrapping them up. And then I have, because I don't want to play pure knights in 30K, but I've had my knights for a while, and I want to do something with them. So I'm actually working on a house guard for House Raven. So I'm using the militia rules and Warhammer 40K ad mech models, since they're not used in 30K. You know, they won't be confused for something else. So like, for example, I'm using the Dune Crawler as my Lehman Russ. I'm using the Iron Striders converted a little bit to be my my Sentinels. And I can't remember what the Cyber Horse Riders are, but I'm using them as cavalry so that I have they represent the fast-moving support of the House Guard to help support House Raven.
Sick. I love the 40k Mechanicum stuff. It's just a shame we can't use them actually as what they are in 30k, but Militia definitely do work pretty well for them. When is Texas Open? It's like 2 weeks' time now?
No, Texas Open is the one that came and passed. You're talking Warzone Houston. That's 21, 22, 23, I think, or 22, 23, 24. Let me look at the right. Dates.
Yeah,
my calendar. Yep, 22, 23, 24.
Yeah, I had to step back from going. I have training I can't get out of on the 19th and 20th, and when I started talking about the idea of going, my principal sort of looked daggers at me. Like, she wouldn't say no, but I really didn't want to use up my political capital, as they say. especially as there's a good chance that I may be able to get to Adepticon next year. So Adepticon's lined up perfectly with Oklahoma Spring Break. I'll need a day off to do Adepticon, and I've visually got a hotel room. So, yeah. Saving on not going doing the Warzone trip. I will be eager to hear how it goes and seeing lots of photos. So, AJ, I don't think you've done much since the Titanicus event we had in the city in July?
No, not too much. Had a lot of life step in the way, so it's prevented a lot of hobby stuff. But I've been working at building and painting some of my backlog of epic stuff. So other than that, not much.
I'm really hoping we can get another event up in Oklahoma City here soon. Just waiting for that moment in the school year to open up. Like, I was hoping I could grab a game with you this coming weekend, because I'll be up there for a conference for the academic team. But I know you're busy, and I think I'll probably end up being too tired, knowing how it's going to... They sent me the schedule of events, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, this is going to be a day. So,
the wonders of responsibility.
Yeah. By the end of September, start of October, I'll have my free time carved out, and we'll try and get a...
Absolutely.
So as far as like future events goes for myself, as I've said, Adepticon is now front and foremost on my radar. Stepped away from Warzone. Warzone's coming up. It's going to be great. The Texas scene sort of gone a bit quieter. I think there's the event they were planning on doing on the 9th has been...
It's been pushed back to the 30th. The issue being is really the... It was planned as the 9th as a last second thing, just trying to get the venue. Like, oh, when can we get the venue? Oh, well, there's the 9th. All right, let's just put it down for the 9th so we can then figure things out. And then we actually sat down trying to figure out who's available to go and run things. And all of us in the Lone Star Legion that runs the local events were all like, yeah, no, the 9th is not going to work for me. I wasn't coming anyway.
You know, I couldn't have made it that weekend, obviously, because I'm at the conference. In fact, September's a horrible week, because I think the new date looking like is the 30th is going to be my kid's 10th birthday party. So, yeah. Busy week, busy month, but all will be fun will be had regardless. Take a few moments to talk about Legionaris Imperialis. Epic. The last episode, upon editing it, I realized I was pretty like doom and gloom about everything, and I want to address some of that and sort of talk about where we are. I think I'm really excited about the game coming out still. I think it's going to be really good. We don't know when we're getting it, and it's put us in a really weird spot. Nothing that's coming out from King's Workshop at the moment is giving any indication that it's even imminent, which is making it really hard to be excited about it. Even the current articles are just like, oh, it's more filler. I mean, some of it's good filler. Like, today we had some news about how the planes are working in the game, and it looks okay, but I'm ready for the game now. AJ, do you have anything to add?
I worry that I'll expand too much on the negativity side of it, because I'm pretty disappointed with the lack of transparency that they have exhibited with this so far. But that's also me being upset with Games Workshop for being Games Workshop, so...
No, that's fine. I don't know, I've walked back a bit from where I was. Stuff we're getting in the articles is showing a good amount of depth of the game. Good amount of depth. I was partly worried that we would start seeing, like, a complete freezing of material, or that perhaps they showed signs that they were going to tack away from the game for monetary reasons or whatever, but it does appear that they are fully committed, and the game looks like it's pretty well thought out, even if it in some places is just a rehash of previous versions of Epic. So I'm looking forward to being able to talk about it properly here in a few months. And sadly, I still think we're still talking months, but at least we know it's coming.
It might become their new Christmas seller.
Yeah, it's kind of where I'm hoping. Like,
I honestly believe they meant to put it out on pre-order the last weekend of August as basically an August, September, end of summer release. Something came up in production, and we've all heard the rumors about the various things that it might be, but something came up in production. They're getting that squared away, and they're just going to be moving it to a holiday release.
Yeah. Yeah, it is noticeable, because, I mean, we have had quite a few weekends where it's been like, oh, nothing's been released this week. But the preview show for today is like, oh, they're just talking about some books and some models that are available in stores that aren't Games Workshop. Very quiet, but I think it will actually be good for the game in the end, because probably means we're going to end up seeing, like, a lot of material really quickly. While not great for my wallets, may mean we aren't stuck in a world where we, you know, waiting on that next kit, and we end up waiting a month for it, which can be problematic in itself. So I remember, you know, how long did we have to wait for the Reaver after the first box dropped in Titanicus?
It's a good point.
It, you know, we'll get all our toys and we'll get them all at the same time. So yeah. Okay. So we can't really say much more about that until we actually get some more actual real news. And I really do want to go digging through each of the preview articles, because people who were really excited about it, and I've already done it. So
I do want to lay on my tangent of, I really like how the Solar Ox look, and I'm really hoping that what we're going to hear is the Solar Ox is the mystery army, and these are all the new sculpts for the Solar Ox, because
I can't imagine that it's anything but that right now. Like, for them to have done anything but the if there's a new, we know it's a plastic army, unless they're going to do something utterly stupid like demons or something, like they come out with alternative demon kits for Heresy that use the current plastic demon kits. Only thing I could think it being is plastic Solar Ox, and having spent all that work doing CAD work, it's it just makes sense, and it's going to sell because people want to play that type of army. It's always been a It's never been a bad seller for Heresy. It's just been so ridiculously expensive. So I guess it's pretty worth us talking a bit about the previews from Nova. There was some pretty good stuff put out. Let me pull up the article. Kind of want to focus on... Let's start with the big one. Let's talk about craziness of Fulgrim. What are you guys' thoughts about this brand shiny new model?
So I will tell you my first reaction when they were bringing it out was, oh, wow, that looks so awesome. Perfect. Emperor's Children are going to have the next big book in 40K. And then they went from spinning around and doing the full motion capture commercial version and went to just the background, and the background said Horus Harrison. And I went, what? I was not surprised they were doing a Primarch. They pretty much told us they were doing a Primarch. I was surprised that it was a Horus Heresy Primarch, although they did tell us that they're going to do one on the calendar, but I didn't think it was yet. And honestly, as the next Primarch, I thought it was going to be Logar and give Logar Transfigured, because we already have rules for him.
That's where I was going as well. This is definitely out of left field in that regard.
Meanwhile, I'm over here thinking, how are you going to put that on the tabletop?
Oh, yeah, no. There is a...
The same way you're going to field, Horus Ascended, you don't.
No, no. I mean, it is a very, very pretty model, and yeah, it's going to cost over 1,000 points to put on the table, so it'll show up very rarely, but it's going to look really nice in display cases all over the world. It's a bit like Smaug from Lord of the Rings. It's one of those models you kind of just want to own.
Yeah, definitely get that opinion. My just thing is, as big as he is and as wide as those wings are, now I know what you meant, AJ. It's physically, how are you going to put them on the table? It's about like doing super heavy flyers. I've never owned a Thunderhawk, but I have a Vampire Hunter sitting over on my display table with my Eldar, and it has never been on the field because by the time I got it finished built and painted, I had already played an APOC where somebody brought a Thunderhawk, and I watched what a nightmare it was playing with that, and I went, nope, never putting that one on the table.
It's going to be really interesting to see how that model comes together. If I was actually going to play, use him as a play piece, I think I'd have to look how those wings attach to the main body and look at like having a pin that I could like detach and then put something else in its place. Maybe sculpt some sort of closing for the where the wings go, and so you can sort of take the wings off and just have them in like snake form for putting it on the table.
So the one thing I have about is they, and I'll have to see how they actually attach, but they look much more fragile because I've got Angrath. The Forge World Demon Lord. And what I ended up doing is I did a pin on his wings and then did Green Sculpt to make sure that everything matched up real well and everything. And the way I have him is those are pinned so I can take them on and off so that I don't have to worry about transporting him and so forth. I just take his wings off because, yeah, he those wings, and they're super heavy, durable wings because they're thick resin. I don't have any concerns that they're likely to break, but they are just a real pain in the butt to move him around. Once he's on the table, it's not too bad, but because they're high up off the thing, you can get models around him, but it's still, he's really.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
He takes up land space. Same as Kabanda. I was remembering a K. I couldn't remember his name. Yeah, same thing with Kabanda. Kabanda takes up a lot of real estate.
Yeah. So, I mean, the model's weird because you're going to have one or two problems. Either those wings are made of really heavy resin that won't ship, and they're going to be so heavy they're just a burden on the model, or they're light and become a breaking hazard. But, I don't know. I think it's got play. I really like... Even without the wings, it's a great model. And like I said, I think if I was to own one and want to play with it, I'd come up with a way to, you know, have them as removable pieces. But I similarly to you, well, when they announced it, it was not the thing I was expecting them to announce. I was fully expecting either Logar like you or the Khan. The Khan was Khan on jet bike, I thought was like, you know, they'll do something like that, and then to have it come out and not be in plastic and not be a 40k model was very surprising.
As I said, it coming out wasn't entirely surprising. The it being a Horus Heresy model was the one that really got me shocked.
Yeah, and then being so blatant and being like, you know, this is not getting rules in 40k as well. I'm like, well, okay.
Why not?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can put my... I'm feeling more confident in my tinfoil hat conspiracy about product codes with every release. Like, fact this is a Horus Heresy model and it's not used in 40k, and we still can't use the rest of our demons in Horus Heresy, we can in 40k, really feels like there's some sort of stupid turf war going on. Much love as I have for the company, I really wish they'd just, like, stop feeling like I'm dealing with two separate companies.
Honestly, the whole, aside from the product code and turf war issue, the no, you're not getting rules in 40K kind of makes sense for me in as much as they probably have plans to bring him out in 40K at some point, bring him out in plastic, and I don't think that's the model they're going to bring him out with, and they want to do something big. Although it will make it kind of weird because Heresy has already said if they were bringing demons to 30K, they were going to use their 40K models for it, where, you know, if when you're using Magnus or the new Angron, or you're using Morty, you'd be using the 40K models, and they'll bring out rules for them and use. This is going to break that in as much as now you have a resin demon Primarch, and if and when they bring out Fulgrim in 40K, and it's a lot more if than when, since Fulgrim's the only one of the prime four gods now that they haven't brought a book out for. Now you're going to have two different demon models.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Because, like, it's going to happen. And, like, Fulgrim is pretty, is active in the current 40K storyline. It's not long before he's going to make his appearance, like, on the tabletop.
Yeah. I will honestly say you're probably going to run into a similar situation to what we now have with the Lion, which is I will argue that I think the 30K Lion still looks better, but the 40K Lion looks really good. And honestly, nobody in 30K is really going to have, I think, have a big issue if you use the 40K Lion as your Primarch in 30K. And a lot of newer people are probably going to buy the plastic Lion rather than the resin Lion because it's plastic, not resin. And
yeah, and you can make a there's some changes you need to make, but it's nothing major and nothing that's not going to make it a modeling challenge to make that centerpiece model your model.
Right. And again, and that's what's going to happen with if and when a Demon Fulgrim comes out in 40K is I think no matter how good the resin looks versus whatever ends up coming out in 40K, unless you've already bought the resin Fulgrim when the plastic one comes out, everybody's just going to go to the plastic no matter how much more 40K looking it is versus 30K.
We're entering a really interesting time in that regard, and it's only going to get worse because I say worse slash better in some respects because they aren't going to just do the second generation. These are the second generation Primarch models. They're at some point going to make a second generation Loyalist model. We're going to see a alternate version of Korax. I'd really like them to come up with a proper post Istvan Korax model. Be really good to see.
I would like to see a new Korax model because only in as much as I like what they were going with Korax there, I honestly am not a fan of that model, and I'm really not a fan of trying to put that model on a table and keep it steady and not like it is the wings conversation we were having before, but only worse because its point to its center of gravity is not directly over its base when you're using the game base rather than the display base.
Yeah, so we have, like, you know, more fun to come if they continue, if they start updating Loyalist models. Then, you know, you see us in a place in, like, you know, after a while of having, like, a third version of the Lion. It's like, okay, now we've got three Lion.
Well, no, because I definitely get behind we need updates if for no other reason that Russ needs a spear.
We need a spear, Russ, and... But as a whole, I think the... Moving back to Fulgrim, I think the model is exactly like it is what I imagined when I thought of Demon Fulgrim. There's no surprises there. It's a beautiful model. I think they catch the essence perfectly.
The reason that I like it the best, like I just think is awesome, is for the simple fact of, and I don't remember the name of the model from AOS.
Morathi.
Okay, yeah. That model had been getting a lot of conversions for Fulgrim already. And one thing I saw was somebody that did a full demon conversion with him that was amazing. And this lives up to and exceeds that. And that, I don't know if you've seen that conversion out there, but that was such an amazing conversion that, like, Forge World actually had like a bar that they were going to need to meet, and they actually managed to cross that bar. They got over that bar.
I think so as well, because on a very similar note, I thought that Games Workshop didn't hit that mark with the Demon version of Angron they put out. A lot of people are making Demon Angrons out of the Bloodthirster model. Kraut Scientist on Bolter and Chainsword, if you've ever come across his work, he made three versions of Angron out of Bloodthirsters. And all of them were so much better than the new model they came out with, 40K. But, you know.
Yeah, and I think my biggest complaint of the Demon Angron is that the only cues that it took from, you know, there's an entire article on and video about the sculptor and all of the 30K artwork and 30K sculpture and how he was taking inspiration from it. And he talks a great talk, but to look at the model, the only inspiration, the only tie back to the 30K Primarch model we already had is his butcher's nails. Like, oh, great. We've got a bloodthirster with butcher's nails. That there was no real, that there wasn't any great callback to the original model. It was just a bloodthirster with a different face and head.
I suppose you should talk about the other heresy reveals at Nova. We got good pictures of the Daradeo and the Mark IIIs, the new version of the Mark IIIs. Nothing of surprise here, really. We'd seen that preview little box they put out at the last reveal kind of put these ideas out there. So I think everyone was expecting the Daradeo and the Mark IIIs. I like them. I mean, the Daradeo's the Daradeo. It looks like a perfect transition. I think there are some small changes, but nothing major. And the Mark IIIs look like Mark IIIs. I mean, they don't look like our current Mark IIIs, but they look close enough. I like them. Perhaps a bit more pot-bellied than before, but...
Yeah, and that's actually more akin to the Plague Bearers that have been coming out since 8th edition, which are more in a Mark III look. The one thing I've heard a lot of people complaining about is the helmets, and I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of the Pickle Hall other than some specific legions. But it's a simple enough thing to just trim it and it still looks right.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's going to be other helmet kits out there. I'm not overly fussed about the helmets. I think they look good.
Yeah, they're going to re-release, just like they did with Mark VI, they're going to re-release the Mark III helmets and the Mark III shoulder pads. And
we need more wolves.
Don't do those wolves. Don't turn them into wolf heads. Please, God, no.
I think every chapter should just have an animal head. Like, you know.
Stargate. The lion gets the lion?
Yeah.
Dark Angels, now all of your helmets are lions. But we're feather themed. Nope, you get lion heads now.
Hey, lions with feathers, chimeras. You do both.
Give me my Thousand Sons with beetles.
Yeah, beetles for Thousand Sons, like minotaurs for lion warriors. Great, we can do it. No, I really like it. But actually... So as AJ, you're here, I have a question for you. Because obviously they previewed... The big thing they're doing is this box. Battle group box. Which is going to have a Land Raider, pile of the new Mark IIIs, and special weapon kits. Is this the sort of box that someone outside of Heresy looks and goes, that looks interesting. I could use that to get into the hobby.
I thought about it when I saw it. I was like, that'd be a nice stepping point. So it's probably going to be cheaper than the Age of Darkness box. At least that's the hope. But... I'm still saving my pennies for legions, so ultimately it falls flat for me.
Honestly, what we need is a combat box, combat patrol type box, and this is the type of box that they release after the first intro release for a 40K set, where they basically take the original box set and take the rules out of it and maybe slap one new model in there and go at it. That's basically what this is. Although one thing is because I just want to bring it up because I want y'all's opinion on it. Are we getting two different Daradeo kits?
Probably.
Because I'm noticing there's lots of great pictures and everything, but they're all either the autocannon or the plasma, which means I think we're going to end up with a second kit that's going to be the Las Cannons and the Volkite.
And
hopefully it's just a weapon sprue option, kind of like the Warlords and Titanicus. But
I would hope, but I'm betting not.
Oh, I'm looking at the... Well, okay, so the big thing is that it's not just the arms, because it links to the... Plasma have power pack generators that sit on the backpack, whereas the Balkans have giant ammunition hoppers. So I reckon it's going to be a unique kit.
Yeah, I think what we're going to end up is a kit that's going to be the plasma and the autocannon battery, and then another kit that's going to be the blast cannon battery and the Volkite Falconer.
Yeah, they will have one kit that is plasma autocannon, another one that will be a Volkite las cannon. Otherwise, they'd have showed all their options off. But I think I have a feeling the plasma and the bolt will be in this one kit. But even that, I'm not 100% sure on, if I'm being really honest. I like the idea of the box set. So when the box came out, I looked at the box set and I was like, I could see myself buying that. But I think my problem is there's 20 too many Marines in it. Buying a box with 40 more Marines in it, I'm like, ooh, that's a lot. If I was buying 20 Marines, a Dreadnought, and a Land Raider, I could be like, okay, well, I can have 5 of them special weapon guys, and I've got 5 of them to ride in the Land Raider, 10 of them to ride in the Land Raider.
Well, and the thing is they're trying to push large units of tactical Marines as the base of the game. So that's why every box comes with 20 or 40 Marines in it, which is usually more than you need, but that's because that's not the list they want you to be.
No, playing. I mean, like, but I think my thing is that for the adding this to as a sort of additional box to the Age of Darkness box, like, that's going to be 80 Marines, and that's a lot. Whereas adding another 20 to that box, bringing it to 60 Marines, I think this is a good amount for an army. That would move this box into being a good thing to purchase, like, after you've got the main box set. Buy the main box set, then when you finish painting that, go and pick this box up. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the price point on it is. But a bit like AJ, I think me buying it, because it's probably going to be out real soon. In fact, they said during the announcements that it should be here sooner than you know. I just can't see myself getting it while I'm still waiting on what Epic's going to be bringing whenever it comes out. Reveals. Do you have anything else to add, guys?
They discontinued Scouts and are bringing Primaris Scouts out now. How much of out of scale are they, since we are supposedly have Scouts, but now we don't have any models for them anymore?
Oh, that's a good point. I don't think they're terrible, because they look like they're going to be the same size as the Scouts that we had with Black Templars. They will tower over some of the older Plastic Marines if you're running any like 3rd edition Marines. They shouldn't be too bad alongside Marines.
So if we're looking at the Mark VI and the new Mark IIIs that have been scaled up, they won't be out of scale?
They won't be out of scale with that, and you'll probably get away with some of the Mark IVs as well. The Mark IVs were not that much smaller. There was a significant size difference between the current Mark IVs and the old Mark IIIs. The Mark III Iron Armor actually were smaller than the Mark IV. Yeah, the Betrayal of Kalth Marines were slightly bigger. Am I scaling right?
That said, if you want to run the new 40k Terminators as Indominus Terminators, I honestly don't have too much of a problem with that, unless you're running a whole bunch of regular Cataphracta and Tartarus, because then they're going to look out of place. But running them alongside a bunch of regular Marines, I don't have any issue with it, because the scale isn't that's what Terminators should be. And if you go back to 3rd edition when the plastic Terminators first came out, the good plastic Terminators first came out, they because there was also the Space Hulk ones before that, those Terminators were significantly bigger than their 3rd edition tactical Marine counterparts. That's not too big a thing, and then scale creep is,
yeah. And okay, so I'm gonna go on a tangent here, but it's a good tangent. I don't believe in scale creep. I believe in those complete and utter lack of standardization of scale for the longest times, and then what we started having around like 2010 was Games Workshop actually standardizing scale somewhat, and like as we've moved further away, those early 2000, pre-2000 models and phased out because they were just completely out of whack with scale.
I mean, let's not get into scale too much, because, I mean, how are you fitting 10 Space Marines into a Rhino?
Well, yeah. Well, and in 40k, it's not 10 anymore, it's 12. It's 12 Primaris as well, so... No, I agree. I think I like the new Scout box. They look really good. Dividing the scale isn't too far, and we won't know until we actually fully see the models, but... I think there's good use of those. They're going to look really good in the Horus Heresy. I'm expecting we'll see a box version of them for the Heresy. We won't just have the 40k box. There'll be one that comes out with, like, you know, Age of Darkness art on it. I think that leads to sort of one final point that I want to touch upon. Last night, before I recorded this, the Heresy Accountability Buddies had their 50th Well, it wasn't really their 50th podcast, but they had the celebration for them recording 50 podcasts, which was a live stream podcast where they had guests jump in. And in their podcast channel, there's sort of a conversation developed about what's the best size game for Heresy, and it quickly became like very divided between people wanting game sizes based upon different needs. So ignoring just Heresy for a minute, because I know AJ's here and he's our Titanicus and other game player, I did sort of want to sort of have your guys' thoughts on, like, is there an advantage for the community has having a standard game size? I mean, it's sort of generally accepted at the moment that Heresy is, we play 3,000 points, but some people are saying we should standardize to 3.5, and then other people are like, well, I want to play 2,000 points. I like the idea of being able to play multiple game sizes and a lack of standardization, but, yeah.
I was going to say, like, what a pro for standardization would be, like, if you're trying to write like a like a campaign battle setup where like some sort of narrative like pre-generated, a standard play size would be more, it'd be beneficial for that because you could just write knowing what you could have your players bring and not have to worry about trying to accommodate different things versus the lack you deal with the, you have to factor in like variables and contingencies for things.
No, I get that. That's a solid point.
See, I'm for standardization, kind of. You know, we've settled out on 3K. Used to be that it was 2,500, but we settled out. It was Heresy 1.0 was 2,500. By the end, it had moved to 3K. 3K still seems actually the really sweet spot for Heresy 2.0. The advantage of standardization is if I'm making a list for event A, I know that I'm probably going to be able to use that for pretty much every event that I go to, you know, maybe tweaking it here and there, changing some stuff out as I get better ideas or more experience with the list, or I have some sort of narrative that I want to change to it, which I've certainly done with some of my stuff based upon games I played before. I've changed a model, promoting them here or there or whatnot. But I know that I can keep the list relatively the same. I can plan for it. That said, there are advantages to having, you know, games of other sizes. You know, like a 2K list is going to play faster. 3K is about 3 hours. You know, give or take, you're usually going to finish out a game in about 3 hours with most players that have experience playing. I mean, if you're having to stop and look at the rules every time, it's going to be more than 3 hours. But if you don't have 3 hours to play, and you know you're not going to have 3 hours to play, playing a 1,500 or 2,000 point game is nice because you get a faster game in. Going to larger games means it's going to take longer because you have more models. There's more things going on. You've got to remember to move everything. Really, I mean, most experiences I've had with really, really large games, you know, going upwards of like 5,000 points, you start to really, it begins to drag. It's really a slog to get through an entire game like that. Honestly, the only time I really enjoy something that big is when I'm doing a mega battle, and that's mostly because you're playing with a bunch of other people, at which point you're playing with so many people and that you're playing to have fun. But the game is kind of to a point secondary to just everybody having a great time hanging out and moving models around.
Yeah, I think you're on the sort of, so my opinion is that, well, I mean, I know I'm very different opinion on game size. I hate the idea of standardization. I think standardization has been curse of 40K. I sort of remember back to the time, the sort of my golden era of back in the day when I was a, you know, teenager playing 40K. Like, there were lots of different game sizes. You could either rocket play 1,500 points or 2,000. Every event seemed to do something different. We had our boys running at 2,500, even bigger than that. And that lack of standardization meant that we never had a meta, never shook out. And people would have that conversation at the start of the game about what type of game we're playing. As soon as 40K started standardizing on the 2K game, slowly other things started then being like, and then it became standard to stick with the ITC mission pack, and then it became standardized to stay with the competitive, I'm going to stay with this and that, and suddenly before you know it, every game of 40K you play is, you know, the same type of game you'd play if you went to a super major tournament.
And see, I can understand that, but that only really works if it's, hey Martin, you want to get in a game on Saturday? Yeah, sure. And then you and I work out what we want to play. If it's, I'm going to a pickup game, you know, I'm going to, it's Wednesday night and or Thursday night and it's Heresy night at the local gaming store. I know that if I walk in with a 3,000 point army, I'm going to find somebody to play because most people are playing 3,000 point armies. If I show up with 1,500, then, you know, somebody's going to want to play me because they definitely want to make sure that I get a game in and whatnot. And if I've only got 1,500, they want to make sure I have a good time because that's the way we are. But you're also going to have them sit and spend, you know, 10 minutes figuring out how do I put together with what I've got a 1,500 point list so that we can play this game because I didn't plan for a 1,500 point list.
I fully accept that individual play groups will have standardization, but when we start looking at, you know, large conversations within the community, think it's okay for each playgroup to have their own standard. And I definitely think when we start talking about events, that events need to be willing to make their own standard. Like, I fully support the idea of an event occurring at a 2,000-point game level and playing Quick Heresy, which will allow me to play, like, four games of Heresy in a day and play with four different people, rather than playing two giant slugs of games against two separate people, especially if I've had to travel half the country to do it.
I like the way you phrase that, in that being able to have an event set up to where it's, this is what we're doing here, these are like the established like rule sets, plan accordingly. Even if it's like two separate lists of like one that's the 2,500, one's the 3,000.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen this conversation pop up a few times, and I just wanted to like say my piece without saying my piece. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like there is going to be a force in our community that looks for standardization, because it's what humans do. Like, it's in our nature. And it'd be nice if we could, like, as a community, realize that we need to be willing to let events pick the standard that makes sense for that event. Don't get hung up about it. Like, I enjoyed the 2K event we played in Tyler back in February, I believe. Like, it was a fun game, fun day. Played two games really quickly, and I kind of want to do... I hope when I go up to Adepticon, I'm able to play a series of games in a day, and not just be stuck playing, like, one or two, and only get, like, you know, five games in the whole trip. I'd rather play a lot of games, especially as there's going to be a lot of people there who've traveled a long way, and I'd rather play a lot of games with a lot of different people. But this is also coming from the guy whose own events didn't have a set game point amount throughout the day. I think I had three different point levels at the last Iron Halo, so I think we'll take that moment to wrap it up. I know it's been a shorter episode than normal, but start of the school year, and I want to be able to edit something that's not too long. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, AJ and Will, for hanging out and talking to me.
Of course.
Absolutely.
We'll call it there for the night, and we'll be back in 2 weeks, hopefully with a bit more of a structured topic. Sort of in a holding pattern until IA is released, and then I can decide what I'm doing, but hopefully we'll have a better idea what's going on here in a couple of weeks. So until then, I wish you all good fortune, and I will see you again.
Please subscribe to the podcast on your podcatcher of choice, and we will see you in 2 weeks. If you have any questions for the show, please email us at firesofbetrayal@gmail.com or reach out through our social media account or at deserve to their respective owners. Until next time, we wish you all good fortune.